First Corinthians chapter number 11, please. If you can stand, please, with me. Would you honor the Word of God today as we stand together and read? Let's begin reading in verse number 20. I'll give you the background to the chapter. And Paul says, "When you come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Now, I'll clarify that in just a moment. "For in eating, every one taketh before him his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken." Now, let me say this in just in passing. At the Church of Corinth, the Church of Corinth was a very worldly church. The Church of Corinth, the people were not in unity. They were not spiritual-minded folks. In fact, they were taking one another to lawsuits. There were all kind of sins in the church. There's all kind of immorality in the church. There's all kind of division in the church. And one thing they were doing when they come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, they made it a heathen feast. They brought food into the house of God, and they ate and they got drunk at the church house. And Paul said, "That's wrong. You have abused the Lord's Supper." And he says in verse 22, "What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I have also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as ye often ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now watch this. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." May the Lord add his blessings. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the little breath of heaven that we felt. And I pray, God, today that as we try to preach the message on the Lord's Supper, I pray, God, that our eyes would be opened, our ears would be in tune to listen. Lord, that I pray that through the message, the Holy Ghost of God would deal with every heart, beginning from the pulpit to the last pew. And Lord God, I pray that if there's anything done today, it would be for thy glory. Nothing that we could ever do, nothing that we could ever say would bring any praise to ourselves. But Lord, we give you the glory and the praise and the honor for what's going to happen. And we trust that it will. We pray believing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. I want to entitle the message today, "This Do in Remembrance of Me." This do in remembrance of me. In our Baptist churches today, there are two ordinances that we adhere to. An ordinance is simply a law or something that is prescribed. And by that, my friend, Baptists recognize there are only two rituals in the Word of God that the Lord wants us to adhere to. There are some churches that adhere to other doctrines and other teachings, but the Bible is clear that there are only two ordinances of the local New Testament Bible-believing church. One of those ordinances is baptism. The Bible has commanded that once we are saved, and we know that the Lord Jesus has saved us, we should be scripturally baptized. And to be scripturally baptized means that you go down into the water. It's not a sprinkling. It's not a pouring. The Bible said that baptism is by immersion. That means that it is a picture of what Jesus has done for you and I. Baptism pictures the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And for every born-again believer, I would say to you, you should be baptized. Now, if you come to me today and say, "Preacher, I won't get baptized," we might have to find a swimming pool somewhere that's got a little heat to it, but we'll do it. And if you can hold off until the water gets a little warmer, bless God, we'll do it down yonder in the creek. But I want to tell you something. Every born-again believer ought to be baptized. Amen? Second of all, the second ordinance that the Bible clearly teaches us has to do with the Lord's Supper. Now, my friend, there is a lot of misunderstanding about what the Lord's Supper is all about. There are some churches and some denominations that teach that by partaking of that wafer or partaking of that bread and drinking that juice, and by the way, we use grape juice. We don't use fermented wine. Say amen right there. I see some of these forgive me if I'm too personal, but these other denominations, they got this priest, and he'll take that cup and he'll drink out of it, and then he'll pass it down the roll. Well, I'd say one thing. I'd be glad if I was number one. I'd hate to be the last one. Say amen. But we don't do that. And the Lord's Supper is designed to show also the sufferings and the blood that was shed and the body that was broken for you and for me. And so when we come here today, this is our first observance of the Lord's Supper in 2012. And I want us together to look in the Word of God for a brief time before we get to that. And I want you to share with you, I believe today, some things that God wants us to know about the Lord's Supper. Number one, would you notice back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, it is a time of commemoration. It's a time of commemoration. Now you say, what does that mean, preacher? To commemorate means to honor the life or memory of somebody. It is to serve as a memorial thereafter. Many times we have on our homecoming day, we commemorate those that have buried in our cemetery. We commemorate their life and their testimony. We contemplate and we think about them for a brief time and what God has done in their lives and perhaps our lives through them. Well, here, my friend, we want to commemorate today the Lord's Supper. And with that, notice there are about three or four things I want you to see. First of all, we commemorate His sufferings. Look, if you would, in verse number 24 and verse 25. The Bible said in verse 24, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25, He said, "This cup in the New Testament is my blood that was shed for you." And beloved, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, we need to commemorate and remember His sufferings. Thank God today for Jesus that went all the way to Calvary. I'm glad to tell you, my friend, that salvation is not found in this wafer and in this juice, but it's found in the blessed Savior that went all the way, that died on Calvary's hill. His blood was shed for me. His body was broken for me. The stripes were laid on His back for me. And we need to remember that. The Bible said in Isaiah 52, 12, verse number 14, that Jesus suffered at the hands of sinful men. He said, "There that as many astonished at thee, and his visage was so marred, like than any other man, and his form was more than the sons of men." We have pictures, I'm sure you may have pictures in your home, of what you think Jesus would have looked like on the cross. My friend, that does not even compare to what He looked like. I don't have the vocabulary. I don't have the ability to tell you what He looked like. But I can read the Word of God, and I can find that there in the Word of God that the Bible said that they ripped His beard from His face. They took their hands and smote him on his face. They planted a crown of thorns on his head, and blood came streaming down his face. They beat him with a cat of nine tails till his back was nothing more than ribbons of flesh, and he stood there in a pool of his own blood. There, my friend, the Lord Jesus endured the mocking and the scourging and the suffering and the pain because he loved you. He didn't want you to go to hell. He didn't want you to spend eternity outside the bonds of heaven. Oh, thank God that he shed his precious blood for us. And we commemorate that today. We remember that he was beaten for us, that his blood was shed for us. He went all the way to Calvary and died for us. We remember that. But then also we commemorate his sacrifices. The Bible said that God became a man, walked among us for 33 and a half years. Do you realize, my friend, when your heart is breaking, by Jesus knows your pain. You realize that when you go in for surgery and they look at you and they said, we don't give you much hope. My Jesus knows your pain. I believe, my friend, that when you stand in that cemetery and you watch as that loved one is placed beneath the ground, my Savior cares for you. He became a man to feel everything in this body. He feels the pain. He feels the hurt, the disappointments. Oh, listen, everything you and I would ever experience, he experienced it for you and for me. When we come to the Lord's table, we need to commemorate that. We need to remember that. We need to remember that God became flesh and dwelt among us and loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice God's Son to die on a cross, to leave the regal palaces of glory, to leave heaven's perfect environment and come to a sinful world so that you and me and sinners like us could be saved. What a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. We need to remember that today. But then second of all, not only is a time of commemoration, but it's a time of celebration. Look what the Bible said. Here it implies as we read this that it is a time to celebrate. You say, what are we to celebrate? We're to celebrate his compassion. Look in verse number 24. Why did he go to Calvary? Why did he die? Look in verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken. What's the next two words? Say it with me. For you. For you. I'm not trying to change the Bible, but that word right there, you could put your name in there. Take heed, this is my body which is broken for Pat, for Brawley, for Frank, for Craig, for Daryl. You see, my friend, the compassion that he had. I know that God so loved the world. I know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But I know this, that God so loved me. If I was the only one, that he would have allowed Jesus to come just for me. And oh, what passion, compassion. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what love. We need to remember that. When we come to the Lord's table, it's a time of celebration. We celebrate his compassion, but my friend, we also celebrate his conquest. Thank God, listen, even though they tried their best and the devil tried his best to keep him in the ground and keep him dead, after 3 days and three nights, he tore the bars of death away and rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And hallelujah, we serve a risen Savior today. You say, how do you know he's alive? He's in my heart to stay. A dead Savior do anybody no good. But we celebrate today and commemorate and celebrate. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And thank God, because he lives, we'll live also. Third of all, though, we celebrate his coming. Look what the Bible said. He said that we ought to do this until he comes again. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus told them, he said, I'll not drink this with you. I'll not eat this with you until I eat it anew with you in my kingdom. Thank God, listen. I'm looking for the day that he steps out and calls our children home. I'm looking for the day that the voice of the archangel's going to sound and the trump of God's going to blast, and thank God all those that have died are going to come forth out of the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and we're going to live with him forever. A good friend of mine, Brother Gary Wood, just got back from Israel. We sat Friday and he talked in our preacher's meeting, and then I sit and talk to him individually. And as he began to describe what he saw, boy, my heart began to just yearn. He talked about how the Bible comes so alive when you could see it there. And Lord, be my helper. I want to try to preach on some of that. But, you know, as he began to tell me and about going, walking up Calvary's brow, about Golgotha's hill, in my mind, I could see my Savior 2,000 years ago walking up that lonely hillside carrying the weight of the cross. And, oh, my friend, listen, I could see him in my mind's eye, that there he was crucified and gave his life. Oh, but then I see him also to stand on Mount Olivet. And as he was taken back up to heaven, and the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up in the heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." I'm looking for the day. Thank God, I believe I'm going to be living. I think I'll be alive when Jesus comes in the cloud. I think I'll be living when he comes and calls his church home, and we're going to be out of here. Celebrate his coming. But then last of all, I want to show you something. It's a time of contemplation. As blessed as this event is, it is also very serious. For notice what the Bible said. It's a time to think about something seriously. Verse 27 through verse number 32. Paul tells the church here at Corinth, folk, you need to think about some things before you partake of the Lord's table. Now, he says, first of all, we need to think about our salvation. You see, the Lord's Supper is not something that will save you. My friend, listen. This grape juice came from the grocery store. In fact, I think it's not even Welch's. It's a Lowe's food. So you could go down to Lowe's food and buy that grape juice. And those little wafers that you got, you can go to the bookstore and buy those. They're unleavened. You could buy them. You don't have to be a church, you can buy them. But my friend, eating of that wafer and drinking of that grape juice will not save anybody in this room. What that means, my friend, is we look back and we remember the blood, we remember the body, but it takes a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a religious experience. You could come to this altar and you could cry crocodile tears. You could cry and say everything under the sun. You could recite the Lord's Prayer till you're blue in the face. My friend, that won't get you saved. What will is when you come as a lost, hell-bound sinner and realize my Savior died for me, and by faith I ask Him to come in my heart. And Lord Jesus, have mercy on me and save me for Jesus' sake. And at that very moment, He'll save you. Brother Tom Boland, he's been down here a few times. He was at our men's fellowship meeting. We were riding together the other day, headed somewhere, and he said, "You know, Frank, I don't know if I told you this, but my wife got saved about a year or so ago." I said, "Is that right?" They've been married 35 years. He's been a preacher many years, assistant pastor and so forth. He said, "But my wife, one Wednesday night," he said, "God didn't dealt with her heart so much, and she had got to the point that she didn't, she was just all to pieces and she just didn't know. And she said, before I want to know tonight, before I leave this building, I want to know I'm saved." And God saved her. Friend, I got news for you. You sitting here in this room this morning and you cannot say 100% sure that if you step out that door and you get run over by a truck, you step out that door and you have a heart attack, if you died before 12 o'clock tonight, if you cannot say, "I'm headed to heaven," bless God, you better get on this altar and you better cry out to God right now while you got time. Amen. God doesn't owe you a second chance. God doesn't owe you another opportunity. God doesn't owe you another time. You might say, preacher, not today, maybe next time. Not today, maybe next week. Hey, I got news for you. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. If you hear his voice, listen to him today and be saved. But now there are some churches today that practice what's called closed communion. Hear me out. There are some churches today that say, unless you are a member of this church and you are in good standing with this church, you cannot partake of this. We don't do that. There are others that practice what's called open communion. And that means this, that as long as you know you're saved, regardless of what denomination, you can partake of that. I like to take it a step further. I like to say that we want to practice close communion. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Look what the Bible said here. Now watch me. Stay with me for a minute. The Bible said here, but let a man examine himself. Watch this. He said that in verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. My friend, this Lord's Supper this morning is for everyone in this room that knows Jesus as Savior. But it's for everyone in this room that knows that they're walking with the Lord. Now here's the consequences. Read on there for a second. You see, when you are coming into the presence and you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, and you take that body, or you take that bread, and you take that grape juice, what you are saying is, my sins are confessed. I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect preacher. You're not a perfect congregation. If we ever get to that point, hallelujah, we'll be in heaven. Say amen. So if you've been looking for a perfect preacher, I'm sadly disappoint you. I'm not perfect. What it does mean is this. If we're walking with the Lord, our sins are confessed. We're trying to live right for God. There's no hidden sin in our life. There's nothing under the rug, so to speak. Then you should partake of that. But if you sitting here this morning, and if you cannot see that all my sins are under the blood, if there's something that's in your life right now, that is right now, the Holy Ghost of God is knocking on your door and he's pointing his finger and he says you need to get that right with God, my friend, please, please get it right with God before he has to take the next step. Look what he says. And I believe this, where he says that in verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. And that means this, that the same people that mocked and jeered and laughed and smoked Jesus, that's what he means. If you are not living for God and you've got sin in your life and you partake of this, you are in the same crowd that mocked him and slapped him and jeered at him and cursed him. That's what he's saying. For here he says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh. The word damnation is judgment. It means condemnation to himself. Verse 30. Would everybody in this room follow me along? And the Bible said, for this cause many are what? Weak. And many are sickly. And some of you sleep. I've always said this. I had a loving father. My dad, I believe he loved me with all of his heart. I know he did. He wasn't one of those fellows that would express that a lot of times. But I know that he did. But in all my days when I was growing up, my dad never spanked me. Mama did. Daddy didn't. But my daddy would speak to me. And I knew that if I listened to what he had to say, that all could be well. But if I did not listen to my dad, I knew that the whipping was next. Beloved, this morning, if God's Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, listen to the voice of our Father. He loves you, but he does not tolerate sin. He does not tolerate wickedness. Oh, my friend, listen, if God shined His spotlight in your life today, oh, would to God that you'd flee to the cross and fall beneath the cross and cry and say, Lord, have mercy on me today. God, forgive me for Jesus' sake. And I'll tell you, by the mercy of God, He'll do it. He said, he that confesses sins, I'll have mercy upon. But if you don't confess it, here's what happens. God doesn't let it go away. God only goes and gets a bigger stick. And I believe there are folk across our country that God has chastened them. God has spoke to them. God has spanked them. And my friend, if you don't listen to the speaking and you don't listen to the spanking, then God in His mercy, He'll take you home to glory. Many years ago, I think it was my second year of Bible college. One of my best friends, we had went to Northeast High School together. We had some of the same classes together. We witnessed to some of our classmates. His family invited me over oftentimes. We'd go over and sit and eat, and I knew his mom and daddy very well. His daddy became our bus director. We had a large church. The church we was in was very large. We had 18 buses. Had a full-time bus pastor, full-time youth pastor, and so forth. We had a big staff. And his daddy was our bus pastor. I was in my, I think, second year of college, and this friend of mine, he was in a separate dorm than mine. The news came one day that his dad had died. Not just any death, but his dad had driven his car, an AMC Matador, if y'all remember that. I do. He'd driven his car into his garage and closed the door and took a hose and attached it to the exhaust pipe and into the window and rolled the window up and sat there and cranked the car and killed himself. You see, what we didn't know and what his son didn't know was that his dad was having an affair on the side. And the weight and the guilt of sin became so heavy, I believe he died a premature death. You say, preacher, he died at his own hand. Yeah, but you see, that's what sin does. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. My friend went home. They had his dad's funeral. They had to cremate his body because of the carbon monoxide. A sad, tragic way, but I believe today that man's in heaven. What am I saying to you, church? If you're sitting here this morning and things aren't right in your life, don't let God have to get out a bigger stick. Flee to the cross, and there you'll find mercy. He said in verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we'll deal with it and if we'll forsake it, if we'll come down this old altar this morning and we'll get down and we'll say, oh God, I plead the blood of Jesus. I confess my sin unto you. Lord, my sin is ever before me, and God, I plead for mercy. If you'll do that, the Lord will have mercy and God will forgive. I'm glad I serve a God that forgives. Amen. I'm glad that He puts it under the blood. He'll never bring it up to you again. He'll never take it and shake it in your face again. Oh, thank God. When He forgives you, He wipes the slate clean. You may not be able to do that, but thank God He can do that. Amen. But as we think about this morning, I would encourage you. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know beyond a doubt you're saved? Are you clean before the Lord? Would you bow your heads, please, in a moment of prayer? Miss Joanne, would you come and play? There's room at the cross for you. You don't need to tell me what's in your life today. I'm only a man. I'm only a human. I'm only a preacher. But I would say to you this morning, before you take the next step, before you end up on a road of destruction, before you end up with a life that's broken, would you flee to the cross? If you're here this morning, you don't know that you're saved. It don't matter if you've been a Sunday school teacher. It don't matter what you kind of office you've held or whatever. It don't matter who. Listen, and I know what people say. I know what people. Listen, I've been in this long enough to know. Some people will die and go to hell because they're afraid, because of what somebody might think about them. Well, I got news for you. They'll not have to stand before God for you. Only you will. Ma'am, if you're not saved this morning, God loves you and He wants to save you. He wants to give you assurance. Sir, if you're not saved, God wants to save you. He wants to come in your life. He'll change you from the inside out. He'll put a new desire in your heart. But if you are saved and you know you're saved, but your life is not what it ought to be, there's something right now the Holy Ghost of God has put His finger on. Right now, inside, you know in your heart if you're right and you're living right for God. My friend, listen, before you partake of this table today, would you cry out to the Lord? Would you stand to your feet just a minute, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one leaving, no one moving around. Please don't disrupt the Spirit of the Lord working on hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, we cannot do anything. Lord, we've only been a messenger. I pray, God, you take that message today. Lord, that you take it and seal it to the heart of that one today that needs to come, Lord, to cry out. Lord, that one today that's lost without Jesus. God, I pray the Spirit of God would break through and, Lord, send deliverance today. Set the captive free. We'll rejoice in what you do in Jesus' name. Right now, slip out of your place. God's already put His finger on your heart. Come on down to this altar. Find peace and rest. Find forgiveness. Would you? Would you right now? Whatever the need is, I'll meet you here. I'll pray with you if you want me to. If you want to just come by yourself, I'll get somebody else to pray with. Listen, do business with the Lord. Sing this morning, church, would you now?